Chapter 2. The Three Responses. Believers in an Unbelieving World. Today, ordinary Americans are being stuffed with garbage. Carl Bernstein. For more than 2,000 years, every Christian community has had to make a choice regarding how they would respond to the culture in which they live. The believers at Corinth made their choice, as did believers living in Ephesus, Jerusalem, and Rome. Believers who lived during the Renaissance had to choose, as did those who lived during the Protestant Reformation. During both the First and Second Great Awakenings, believers had to make their choice, as did believers who lived during the early days of America's founding. Marching down through the ages, during both wartime and peacetime, during the reign of leaders both corrupt and good, during both prosperity and famine, during both spiritual bleakness and growth, believers have had to make their choice. How will we respond as Christ's followers to the culture in which we live? And so even today, you and I have a choice to make. As we take in the surrounding cultural realities, the darkest of which are marked by rampant self-interest, increased apathy toward the claims of Christ, confusion regarding long-held norms involving marriage and sexuality, and contagious cynicism, what are we to do? If you've ever read through the book of 1 Corinthians, then you may recall that early in Paul's ministry at Corinth, the apostle acknowledged that his message might read as foolishness to some of the believers gathered there. It is a message of wisdom, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world. Interestingly, many Bible scholars believe that Paul was speaking here of the demonic realm, of Satan's influence in the earth, but in fact he was not. So what is Paul referring to? The wisdom that belongs to the world is thinking that's apart from God. It is thought, ingenuity, will, and ways that hold no space for God. To be fair, the Corinthian people had every reason to be impressed with themselves. They had settled in a new land and made a respectable name for themselves. Their growth chart was all up and to the right. Things were looking good, and the town's prosperity had them to thank. Paul didn't come to take any of those gains away from them. Rather, he came to say that there's a wisdom that is greater still. At its core, Paul's ministry to the church at Corinth centered on a singular question. Are you sure, Corinthian believers, that you want to stand by the choice you've made? This is a key point, because by extension, Paul's question begs an answer from you and me too. How will we respond to the pains of our age? And decades from now, as we look back on our lives, will we be pleased with the choice that we made? Perhaps more to the point, will God Himself be pleased? Across my pastoral years, I've encountered various models regarding how believers engage an unbelieving world. Each brings something distinctive to the discussion, but for our purposes here, allow me to pass you my streamlined version of the idea. Based on countless interactions with thousands of Christ followers who yearn to actually follow Christ by living for Him in this day and age, but who are mystified as to how to get that done, I most often see the following three postures toward relating with a broken world. 1. The integrators.